Okay, now please help me welcome Chelsea.
Viva la! Viva la! Viva la!
Not yet. Yeah. My name's Chelsea, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Chelsea, we love you Chelsea, lots and lots and lots.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Thank you for asking me to speak. I think the woman individually is not here right now, but what an honor it is to be able to show up in Phoenix, Arizona and speak on a young people's panel. I was born and raised here, I grew up here, and I hate it here. When I got sober, I got dropped off in like La Jolla, California in San Diego, and I had no idea where the fuck I was. I felt like I was surrounded by rehab Barbies, and I was really confused, and I was really lost. I grew up in Sunny Slope. I know, I'm sorry too. I know, and it's all I knew. You know, Sunny Slope and the whole area in Phoenix and everything was all I knew. I was born into alcoholism. Both my parents were tweakers. My mom was a tweaker and my dad was a tweaker. They used to trade me off, which was actually pretty genius for tweakers. But when my mom would go get high, my dad would take me. And then when my dad would go get high, my mom would take me. And I don't know where they thought of this plan, but I think they at least kind of tried, right? You know, and one time when I was with my dad, I remember, like, you know when you're in middle school or kindergarten and somebody asks you what your first memory was? Well, mine was really fucked up. To this day, my first memory was when I was 3 years old. I was with my dad, and we were at some car shop, and I witnessed my dad get shot in the leg, pull the bullet out of his thigh, and sew it up. And he was my Superman. I was like, okay, like, that's my visual, right? Like, my dad was Superman, and, like, nobody could hurt him. And that's always what I held on to. Like, nobody could meet that standard. It was wrong, but I was young, and I had no idea of anything different. And my mom and my dad didn't even know how to show me different. That was the way they lived. Until one day my mom decided to pick me up and take me away, and we moved off to Washington and California to live with my aunts. And then my aunts couldn't put up with my mother because she wasn't ready to put down meth, and eventually sometime she did, and I don't really remember her getting sober, but she did. And my mom now has 15 years sober in October. So now, the rest of my life, I'm a child of AA. So I like turned into a little brat running around and all that type of stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't even really know what it was. And, you know, I think I was 6 years old, my dad got out of prison and my mom decided to move back to Arizona to give me some memories with my dad. And like, I respect that. What a woman. Right? To be able to take me back to Arizona with a man that she doesn't get along with just so that I can have experience with my father. And I forever thank her for that, because when I was 15, my dad died of a stroke and I never got to see him again. I never got more memories. My whole teenage years, he did remain on meth and never got sober. So this program saves many people, but like, our disease will take us out and they will kill us. And some people never fucking make it here. They never do. The God idea, my dad didn't like it and wasn't okay with it. It's not like it was any problem with him. He was just like, no, and never came, you know? And like, I lost my Superman then, you know? And I was 15 years old. I still to this day remember my mom waking me up in bed. I don't know why I was taking a nap at like 6 p.m., but I was. And saying like, your dad had a heart attack. And I told her that she was lying. I looked at her, I said, no, he didn't. You're lying. I don't know why my brain works like that, but for a long time when people died in my life when I was young, I thought people were lying to me. I thought they were full of shit. You know, and I was sober long enough at 15 to be able to spend 5 days in the hospital with my dad, but it was a stroke. It was blood pressure, and he never took care of himself. And whatever little teensy bit of alcoholism that showed in my life before I was 15 and I had a tragedy happen to me, it just skyrocketed. It didn't matter anymore. Nothing mattered anymore. No higher power, nothing spiritual. Like, you took my dad away. Fuck you and fuck the world. I'm going to scare you away before anybody can hurt me again. And that's what I did. I found punk rockers who had studs on their vests and mohawks. And I was like, people probably don't fuck with those people. I'm going to surround myself with them. And so I did. They taught me how to drink. They taught me how to do everything that I shouldn't have known when I was 15 years old. But that was the life I decided to go to. And then it didn't even matter where I went, right? Wherever I went and there was drugs and alcohol, I found a way to fit in. So, like, next was raving. And I was raving in, like, high school, middle school, and, you know, keeping it from my sober mother and all these things. And it didn't matter. Like, it just didn't matter. Everything that got in the way of my next drink or drug, like, you didn't matter. My best friend, my sister, everything, like, drugs and alcohol came first, always. And I had no idea of any of that, even though my parents were sober. And it's funny because my mom remarried and she married, not into the program, but she met her husband at a bar and they started dating, and then they gave each other ultimatums. My mom has 24 hours more than my stepdad, and they both have the same time. You know, my mom came home with a 24-hour token and said, fine, I'm doing what you said. So he went and got a 24-hour token, and to this day, they still have 24 hours apart. They got married at a year sober, and they've been married forever. And thank God for that, not just for my mother, but for us, for the kids, because I think they finally saw, like, my stepdad's kids, there's four of them, they finally saw a woman in their life that treated their father correctly, and I finally saw a man that treated my mother with all love and respect, and he adored her and still adores her. And you know, and we created a blended family. Like, we had a blended family, and I always felt like the ugly duckling because I was the only child, and then I entered into this family of four, and I never knew what a little brother was. That was terrible. And Alcoholics Anonymous gave my mom that, and it gave our family that, and I had no idea of that when I was younger. You know, later down the road, I ended up dating somebody who was exactly my father. In and out of prison. Manipulative. I thought there was, like, love, of course. I was, like, 15, 14, 16, whatever age it was. But I stayed there for 5 years, on and off, like. And the reason why I bring up that ex is because he wasn't just an ex-boyfriend, he was my disease. And I made him my disease. And it was the hardest thing for me to let go when I got sober, because I had to grieve him as my disease with my disease. And we all know I didn't like to grieve. And, you know, I went hard for a really long time, it felt like. You know, I picked up heroin when, after I tried college and I came back, I went up to NAU and I came back, and heroin was the next choice, and we got strung out and we lived in the car. We ended up finding an apartment by Metro Center, which was terrible, even more fucking worse. Like, it didn't matter where we were. Eventually, he decided to get sober, and I wasn't ready. He didn't stay sober, but I needed to be left. I needed to be left. I needed to be broken, because when I was left, I went harder. I was more hurt, so I went harder, and then I found meth, and then I was homeless, and I was riding around on my skateboard, and I had no shoes and my dog. And I would do anything to get loaded, and it was went down to things that were totally morally wrong inside, you know? And I always had this thought of, like, my dad was always watching, which always fucked me up more. And I remember still to this day, I was super strung out, and I hadn't slept in a long time, and I needed to sleep, but I was trying not to sleep because I was scared. I was petrified. I don't know why I was so scared that night, but there was a reason. And I remember I used to sleep outside on this bus stop across the street on, I think, 27th Avenue and Cactus. Yeah. I slept on the bus stop across the street from the 7-Eleven because the people at the 7-Eleven knew me since I was 10 years old because my mom worked there. My mom used to send debit cards, prepaid debit cards, to them. They would keep them just so I could eat and I could have cigarettes. And I used to sleep across the street from there on the bus stop just in case anything happened, somebody would see. And I was sleeping on that bus stop, and it was kind of almost morning time, and my dog was asleep underneath the bench. And I was surrounded by three men who had pistols. I got hit across the face with a pistol. Somebody yelled from across the street, and I ran and they ran. And I don't know why they decided to hit me that day instead of not shoot me, but I don't know what any other bottom could have been. I remember running, barely being able to see, half my face was swollen, and I was like running around in this condo area in the middle of like Cactus, and the sun was coming up, and some man was watering his lawn. And he asked me if I was okay, and I wanted nothing to do with anybody because I didn't know who was who, you know? Meth will do that to you, especially if you just get assaulted. And I just kept walking, and I shook my head, and then somebody touched my hand, and I looked at my dog, and he didn't react, and his tail was wagging, and come to find out, the woman was his wife. They brought me inside their house, they cleaned up my face, they put butterfly bandages over my face, a cold press, and when I kind of came to, they kept not letting me wake, not letting me sleep, which was appropriate. When I came to, there was a bunch of fucking serenity prayers all over the wall. And I knew what that meant. I was a child of AA. Like, I knew what those prayers were. I didn't know what they were, but I recognized them and where I had seen them. And my mom was trying to get me into rehab. And that weekend, she was actually at the Flagstaff Roundup. And she had already moved to San Diego. And she told me she wasn't going to leave until she at least tried to find me. And I had ignored her all weekend. And I picked up the phone. I got it. I was like, fine, I'll fucking call my mom. You know, and she was already in Phoenix, and she came straight down from Flagstaff, and she picked me up a couple hours later, and she drove me out to Phoenix, or out to San Diego, and I just remember bawling, leaving the city, and turning around on the 8 and looking, and I was so terrified, because Phoenix was all I knew, and I was bawling. My mom made me pick up the phone and look up the rehab I was going to. And it was like this big, beautiful house and a pool. And then there's a picture of the ocean. And I just started laughing. And she was like, why are you laughing? And I was like, I just think it's funny that I had been running from this the whole time. You know? And I got sober. I was fucking twisted. I was really messed up mentally. I told my counselors I could read their mind. I was in a full meth psychosis. And I fully believed it. Like, I believed what I was saying. And I was like, I was aggressive. I had half my head shaved, half of it was tattooed. I showed up with no shoes and like a crop top and Dickie shorts. And I was like, what the fuck do you want? You know what I mean? And all these women were like, and the treatments were like blonde and from like Del Mar and La Jolla. And I was like, I could steal from you, I could. I could use you, and it was all fucked up, you know, and all through treatment, the finger was always pointed at me in rehab, and all groups, I was always taking people's inventories, or Chelsea did this, or Chelsea hit me in the stomach, and blah, 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 blah. But guess who got better? Chelsea. She got better while everybody else was so focused on me and what I was doing. I got to focus on me. And I cried, and I wrote goodbye letters to my dad, and I blew snot bubbles in front of these women I didn't trust. And there's 12 women in my rehab, and there's two of us who still have the same time 6 years later. And 6 years later, I've grown into a woman of dignity and grace who loves other women and trusts other women and lifts them up. Sponsor. Like, I bought a car last year. Like, I grew up in Sunny Slope. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know I was capable. I thought parents had to do all that for you, and I would never get that. You know, and today I get to be strong for my mother, my father, my stepdad, who is now my father. My papa is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And we get to be strong, sober women in his life. And have hope, and I get to take care of my mother's daughter today so she doesn't have to worry about me too. And Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the most beautiful life and made me so okay with my soul and my heart, and that was the biggest thing that Alcoholics Anonymous could have gave me. You know, I'm 26 years old, I have 6 years sober, and I just started a business last year, and it's been open for a year. You know, like, everything inside me didn't want to change, but everything inside me needed to change. I'm not that aggressive woman anymore. I'm not the fighter. I do have some attitude sometimes. I'm pretty sure it comes from Sunny Slope. You know, but today I get to be a good girlfriend. Like, I get to take care of the people around me and show new women who are just as fucked up as me when they get here and they're really difficult to love that you can get fucking better. You might seem like the major, like the ones who won't get better. All my counselors thought I was the one who wasn't gonna make it, but I was the one who made it because I worked my fucking ass off for this seat. And I hope that you're in enough pain, or that any of your sponsees is in enough fucking pain that you have no other choice than to get better, because that's the only way this thing works, in my opinion. Thanks for letting me share, and I'm trying to have a good time in Phoenix, so thanks.